We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's just...
She's a maniac on the floor. And she's dancing like she never danced before.
I want water to spray over me right now.
All right. I love Flashdance. It's such a dumb movie, but it's so much fun.
One I need to rewatch because I've only seen bits and parts of it when I was younger. Yeah. I need to rewatch it.
You're not going to be impressed. It's really bad, but it's funny.
But I love really bad. You know this. So I could really enjoy it. So I don't
just
know.
Just the montage scenes, like just a steel town girl on a Saturday night looking for the fight of her life. I think he says fight of her life instead of thrill.
Something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's just, it's so, it's not a good movie, but it's just kind of fun. And she's like a construction worker too, which is even fucking funnier. Like, it's just stupid.
The other thing I want to rewatch that I keep hearing about, and I actually heard, I think it was Method Man even recently on an interview was talking about, I really want to watch Grease 2 again. Because
interesting. I love Method Man.
Method Man was talking about how it's actually one of the most underappreciated and probably better than the original Grease, actually. And he's like, this
Travolta in it?
So good. No, John Travolta's not in it at all.
Good, then that'll
make it a lot
better.
Michelle Pfeiffer and... I can't remember the guy's name. It's like Max Coolwell or something like that.
Coolwell, my favorite actor.
That's probably completely wrong, but I know Michelle Pfeiffer is the lead in it.
Right.
And it's got the song Cool Rider in it that everyone loved. And like he was.
I don't watch Grease. I don't watch crap.
I mean, fair, but I kind of want to watch that one because I keep hearing a lot of people talk about it and hearing Method Man being like, this actually was like a fire movie and so underrated. It was so funny.
Probably high with like while getting his dick sucked.
Not during the interview, at least. He might have been high, but he wasn't getting his dick sucked from what I saw.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back. Say who we are. I'm Scott.
Yeah. And I'm Steven.
And we are Soul of a Gamer podcast. Each week, we either do a hot take or we play a game. And this week, we're doing a hot take.
Yes. And this one's a fun hot take.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. We're going to be talking about character creation in games as well as...
good and bad choices in games and playthroughs.
Yep. And, you know, this is pretty much a staple of games since probably the late 90s, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's...
I'm trying to think when the first... because my... like the first RPGs where you had more choice of who you are and how you play, it's probably late 90s. Because I think before that, it was just kind of forced on you that you're the hero or you're the villain and you're fighting the other.
I think there was some obscure ones, but they were like few and far between and they were really complex. So yeah. I think like because there was a lot of like those story-based ones where you actually had to like type in your answers and stuff, where I think those had more creative freedom, like the ones.
Yeah, but those had selective answers that you could do, and also like, and it's more selective than what we have playing games today, or even 100%. What we had in the early 2000s. I would say,
yeah,
like it would say, move forward. You can move forward, move left, move right, or go backwards. You know, and that's those are your choices. There isn't like scout the area. There isn't like. Check under a tree. Like, there's none of that shit. You're not doing anything really like adventurous in those games. You're just typing in shit and then you're like, you found a dragon by moving forward. Hey.
I mean, true, but yeah. So I guess we're gonna start with the good and evil playthroughs then, or
sure, let's start with good and evil.
Alright.
So you know, it's weird with good and evil, guys, because we all want to be, like, the good guy all the time, right? We all want to be that
everyone
dude.
Everyone is. There are some people that I know that are just always choosing the evil.
I know that's true, but I think a lot of people start with the good, and then as soon as they learn mechanics, that's when they start getting fucked up and doing the fucked up shit, you know? I have a buddy who we used to love Fable 1. Fable 1 was such a fun game, and you can kind of play that game any way you want. You can play it as a good guy, you can play it as a bad guy, you can play it as perfectly neutral. Like, you don't have to, and you could do both. You could play it as good and bad at the same time. In most games, you can, right? Yeah. But he, like, we had played it millions of times, and finally he's like, I'm just going to go fucking berserk. And he goes in, and every town he enters, he kills everyone in the town immediately. The problem with the game, though, it does repopulate the towns.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he kills everyone in the town. He's like, fine, if they're going to do that, I'm going to buy all the properties and raise the rent like a shit ton. So he kills everyone, buys all the properties, and in one town, it's Bowerstone, you can't actually bring your weapons in.
Okay.
So the way around this is you make characters follow you.
Ah,
yeah, and you bring them outside town. And he did this, and he's like, I don't understand why none of the buildings are going up for sale. And then, like, 30 minutes later, he's like, fuck, I have to kill the children.
Oh, yeah.
So he brought them all outside and killed them all. But, like, that's a choice you can make in that
game. Children even?
Oh. And most games, like, you'd be in Skyrim, I believe, you can just completely wipe out an entire fucking village if you want to.
One of my favorite things to do in that, especially when they had the Werewolf and Vampire DLC, was turn into a werewolf, ravage a town, and then go turn back into a human and then walk in and be like, oh my god, you guys were attacked by werewolves? So crazy.
Hire me to take care of him.
Right?
And it's, I don't know, it's weird with good and bad playthroughs too, because you almost feel bad about doing shit sometimes.
Like, I know, for me, like, I always feel extremely bad when playing evil playthroughs. And but also for me, like, so obviously first time for me, every time is the good playthrough, and I try to play the best character that I can be, the ultimate true hero. But also, like, super a lot duper. Of true and canon endings are based on the best and goodest ending of the game. Best and so, and like, goodest. A lot of times that's the one I go for. Word. But also, I really think playing evil when you know what's going to happen and when you know all the hidden mechanics and all the secrets makes your evil playthrough that much better, because then you actually are like a villain who's lived in the world. You are a villain who knows these characters intrinsically. You do know their weaknesses. So when you play evil, you can play even more evil than you would have been able to just playing it blind evil. I think evil on a third playthrough is the way to go. Second or third playthrough.
My favorite is in Knights of the Old Republic, you'll have random beggars come up to you and be like, please, sir, can you help me? My child is sick. And you can be like, fuck off, bitch. Get out of here. I'll fucking actually here. Let me do you a favor. And you kill the person. Oh, no. You're like, now your child will die of hunger, bitch. You know, like, you can and it's like you feel bad, but after your 50th playthrough, you're like, I've helped you 49 times and you keep coming back. So.
Like, I don't think it was until my third or fourth playthrough of Baldur's Gate that I decided to go the evil, like, playthrough and actually did the Dark Urge character. And it was even darker than I thought it was going to be, because they, like, minor spoilers for that, they make you kill off the Elvish Bard, or the, not the Elvish Bard, the...
The Tiefling Bard?
Tiefling Bard.
Yeah, I love her.
Yeah. Well, they fucking trick you in the game into being as evil as you can be. They actually have her come up to you and be like, hey, I want to join your party. And you get to actually have her join your party as a member, which you can't do in the normal game. It's you only can do it in the Dark Urge. So I was like, oh, shit, you get as a party member? This is going to be so cool.
Finally get a bard.
And then you go to sleep and you wake up and you're covered in her blood and she's in front of you and you've been clawing at her stomach and you pulled out her intestines and you're just like, oh shit.
Oh my god, that's
what
terrifying.
The fuck did I just do? And then you have to sit there and you have to think. You have a little bit of time and you have a couple of things to do. It's like, do you want to wash your hands and hide the body and not tell your crew about it? Do you want to leave the body out there and be like, I don't know what happened, which is what I ended up doing because I didn't know what the fuck to do. Like, Asterion woke up and was like, oh my god, why is she dead? And I'm like, I don't know, but my hands are clean. Oh, I washed my hands.
Asterion's coming at you like, oh, hey, what did you do, guy? Like,
or
that fucking asshole.
Whoever it was, but I'm just like, but it was like, it threw me so out of the loop because I wasn't expecting something so evil. Yeah. And then you had this like little demon butler appear and give you a prize for committing your first murder, and then you're like, oh wait, I get prizes for murdering?
Okay, well, maybe I'll do it more often. You get to murder any of your party members?
Oh, you can murder everyone.
Well, like randomly, like, just
You don't do that again. Like, you don't have a murder spree in your sleep, but you
that's
also...
That's just the start of it.
I think you can, depending on, like, what choices you make, but I was trying to figure out what was happening in my brain, but I think if you just, like, let it happen, it can just keep happening. I don't know okay. for sure, but I know it's a thing that you actually have to, like, mentally fight against and mentally, like, fight the urge or give in to the urge.
Okay.
And then you find out what your true connection is to the world later in the game. And you're like, this makes so much sense. This is fucking crazy. And it integrates that character into the story in a way that you didn't expect because you've never seen this character or this side of the story before.
All right. Maybe I give that a try next playthrough.
It's fucking good, dude. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's like, all these games, when you have this choice to be good or evil, it's so fucking interesting to choose the evil path because you're almost like, is this the right thing to do? Is it the right thing to kill an entire town? Is it the right thing that someone's going to like ask you for help? And it's like, well, is it really the wrong thing either? What if like you decide not to kill the whole town, you help a little bit, you leave, and the next day bandits come in and kill the whole town? So everything you did was for fucking naught, right? Like,
yeah.
What's the point? Like, what's the point in helping them? What's the point in not killing them? You might as well do it if it's going to be like bandits tomorrow.
It's just the self-guilt and the self like emotional damage that you take when doing it. Like, for me, every time I do something like intrinsically evil, like especially if I care about the characters, like it feels wrong. It feels bad. But
like
then
you
like,
rescue Shadowheart because she's like you like her a lot and you're like, I need to rescue this person no matter what.
Exactly. But if you were like forced to kill someone like you actually cared about, like if you had to play Abby and was forced to actually kill Joel, like I don't know if I would actually enjoy that. Like I already hated that moment. I don't know if I would like
that would be the best moment in a game for me. I'd be like, yeah, fuck Joel.
We're not going to Andrew Ryan this shit. Would you kindly beat me with this club?
Yeah, sure. I'm on it, dude. Yeah, it's like even the good playthroughs, it's kind of weird just making those choices and instinctively, right? Like when you think about it, when you jump into a game, like I said, you were immediately like, I'm going to be the hero because that's what we've kind of been trained to do with games. We're always the heroes in some way, shape, or form. So generally, when you start a first playthrough of a game that you have the option to be evil, most people choose to be good. And you'll get those outliers who are like, I want to fuck up shit in the real world, so I'll fuck up in the virtual world first. But most of us try to be good on that first playthrough, which I think is even more interesting because, like, why isn't it just a 50-50 choice at the beginning? Why do we weigh so heavily towards a good fucking playthrough to start a game, you know?
I think it's just because of the dopamine hits. Everything feels good with a good playthrough. Saving people always feels good. Hearing praise always feels good.
Yeah, and they will praise the fuck out of you, too, which is
exactly
crazy.
And so, like, being the hero, you intrinsically get everyone focused on you. Everyone's praising you. Everyone's building you up the entire time. Whereas if people are, like, screaming and being and terrifying of you, like, there is ways to enjoy that, but it's a little bit more demented, and it's not normal. It's not, like, the average, like, normal dopamine hits that you get from just being like, you're the best. You're right. I am the best. You see how much I fucking kicked that guy's ass? Like, oh, I'm the shit.
I'm the coolest guy in the world.
The Mac Daddy of them all, bitch.
Don't say it. The Mac Daddy.
I don't know.
But I mean, D-A-D-D-Y, right? Doesn't he spell out his name every time he fucking raps?
I think so. Yeah.
It's Daddy Mac and Mac Daddy, I think, and fucking crisscross. I mean, it's just, I always think it's interesting when I jump into a game and I'm like, oh shit, I have the choice to kill this guy. Fuck, am I going to do it? Like, I never know if it's like a good or, and that's even worse in some of these games. You don't know if you're making a good or bad choice sometimes.
That's the hard things. I hate those when like you really don't intrinsically know if this choice is going to be a good choice or a bad choice.
Yeah. Like,
which
it's
is
amazing.
Why I love games like Little Miss Fortune, because like so many of the choices that you would normally make, like, oh, I'm just going to play fetch with this dog. It's going to be cute and it's going to be fun. And then you hit the tree and the branch falls and kills the dog. And you're like, oh, that was the wrong choice. How was playing with the dog the wrong choice?
it's just And that's more interesting to me than the obvious good and bad. Like, let's save the town or don't save the town. Like, yes, it's obvious. Yeah. Yes, it's nice to know. But also more interesting when you have no fucking clue, because you could have saved the town of cannibals, right? You have no fucking idea sometimes playing some of these games, just like in Fallout. Fallout is very much like that, where there's really no good or bad way to play Fallout. You can say that if you kill this entire town, that that's bad, but there are people in that town who are complete pieces of human trash, and you actually saved a few people, then you're being good, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's honestly a lot of times my favorite types of games are the games that are kind of more ambiguous, where you can kind of toe that line. Like, you can be evil to evil people, but you can be like, you're the anti-hero kind of thing, like the Venom of it all. Like, I want to save the day, but I want to be ruthless about it. I want to fucking ruin that bitch's life who decided I'm going to make it my life to ruin bitches' lives. Now I'm going to do the same to you, and I'm going to torture the fuck out of you, and I'm going to enjoy it because I'm the hero, bitch.
You know, and what I like even better, and some of these are less obvious, right?
Yeah.
So if you've ever played Star Wars Jedi Academy, it's a really fun game. It's cool. They have a choice you make, but it's only one.
Okay.
So all throughout the game, you make good choices and bad choices. Like, the character just does it. You don't control it at all. And you can tell, like, anger's building in the character. So by the time you come to this choice, it's really hard to make the right choice. Like, it's really fucking hard, because you're like, well, this guy's a fucking asshole, and he fucking did this, and he fucking hurt these people, and he's a fucking prick. But he's saying he's sorry. He said he's sorry, and he said he's going to change. Like, what the fuck do I do here? Like, do I give into my hate? And I fucking kill him? Because why the fuck not? He's the fucking bad guy at this point. If I kill him, I'm the good guy still. Like,
well, and it's weird also, too, with games like Bioshock, because in Bioshock, it was actually more advantageous to do the bad things with harvesting the little sisters.
Yeah, yeah,
but
true.
But saving them, you got less Adam, you got more less powers, you got less stuff. So you made the game harder doing the good choices. So there are games where
you had more support by the end of the game, I think, right?
Yes.
So,
but you didn't know that until you got to the end of the game, too.
So, like, there is a plus side and a minus side to all these choices, too. And, like, to me, the most obvious ones are always the Star Wars games, because they're the easiest ones to see, like, that very, very intrinsic line of good and evil.
Yeah.
But they do such a good job in the Star Wars games of towing that line really well. Like, when I play Knights of the Old Republic, there's a point where you can kill a prisoner. He's a dude who's, he's killed so many people. He's killed like hundreds. So you can torture him first and then kill him, right? Or you can use like a serum to get the information out and then just leave him alone.
Yeah.
And he's a bad guy. Like, he is a bad guy. And at the end of it, you have the choice to force choke him or not. And you're like, well, he's a fucking bad guy. Like, why not? But you get bad side points for that because you murdered someone. I'm like, he's going to go out there and kill more people. What do you mean I'm bad?
Right.
Like, it's just a line that gets towed a lot in Star Wars games. And I think that's the coolest part about those games, because you really do have to make choices based on emotion. And that's all is. It's all emotional choices. Whereas in like games like Baldur's Gate, you're not really basing it off emotion. They kind of give you a very clear line of, this is good, this is bad. Good luck choosing which one you like to play better. There is no emotion behind it, really.
I would say there is, like, even with letting, like, Asterion ascend or not ascend, like, letting him be able to experience sunlight again, like, he has to do an evil thing and he has to sap all of the vampirelings' energy and the seven other spawns or whatever as well. Like, he has to kill everybody else in that building to be able to ascend.
I mean,
you're giving him the freedom because
they're all
like,
basically dead in there.
I know, but
I would
like
say that actually, technically, I would call that the good ending, like letting him ascend, because you're
ending.
But you're freeing them of their vampiric bonds, which I think none of them want to be vampires anyway.
Yes, but also a lot of them were forced to be vampires and forced away from their families. So letting them live in the Underdark, where they can actually still have people come visit them and just fight their urges to feed, is a lot better, where they can actually just have a good. And like the Monster Hunter group, if you're become friends with their factions, they'll actually monitor them and help them out and help that town thrive.
And that's true. But at the same time, you were just saying how it would be nice if Asterion could see the sun again.
That's what I'm saying, though. But that's
but
one of those
none
things
of
that's
the
like
other
you have to do something super evil to get something good. And it's got
again,
a very emotional response.
I bet that's the best thing of towing the line right there, because really, you're right. It is evil to kill 7,000 people, but are you killing them you're letting them live knowing they're never going to live the same again.
Yes.
Right? Like, that is a huge toe of the line. You're like, fuck. Well, if I did kill them, it's kind of better because then they could at least die.
Yeah.
Like,
if they don't die, or if they do start feeding and they can't fight the urge, then they're going to create more and more vampires, which could make a vampire
epidemic.
Or they're
going to get killed by another person who's like, I don't want a vampire.
I could start the plague just by saying you're free, but I could also not let my friend ever see the sun again, or you ever see the sun again. Like,
that is a big toe of the line moment. But Baldur's Gate does have a lot of, like, this is clearly evil, this is clearly good, you know?
Yeah.
Siding with Gortash is clearly not a good choice.
True.
Yeah. So it's, you know, games will do that too. They'll have a lot of really clear, like, fuck this, fuck that, I'll do this, you do that kind of things. But again, I think Star Wars is the best, and Fallout, I will say, is pretty good too. Very big toe of the line. You have no idea what your actions are actually going to do in 20 minutes. Like,
yeah,
it's really fucking interesting. And it's like, it's always like from a place of, I was trying to make the world better by killing these 20,000 people and it did not fucking work.
Well, like another good example of a bad and evil choice, or good and evil choice at the end of a game, was in Far Cry 3. When you get the choice to either, like, leave with your friends and just live a normal life again, or kill all your friends and your girlfriend and then become Citra's, like, sex bitch, basically.
Well, no, not even. You kill all your friends and your girlfriend, you become a sex bitch for all of 2 days, and then you get murdered yourself.
Yes. But, I mean, like, that's also, like, one of those things, but, like, at the end of that playthrough, you're such a different person. You've become this mass murderer. You've doing all this shit. Like, you've totally become enthralled with Sentra. You've got all these tattoos, all these mystical powers. You're doing all this crazy shit. And then it's like, your girlfriend was like, from your past life, is like, hey, let's go back. And you're like, how the fuck do I go back after
this? I just killed 100,000 people. What do you mean go
like
back?
I'm not going, I can't be a normal citizen after this. Like,
yeah,
and it almost makes sense for the actual storyline, the way it would play out, for him to just honestly probably kill his friends, as depressing as that ending is,
kill his
friends and stay with Citra.
And then die.
It feels almost like really weird going the opposite way and just like leaving. But also, like, that's a thing in every Far Cry game. You can just like leave at any point. Yeah. Like, so many of the games have the way to just leave and not fight the regime or not fight the bad guys. You just like in Far Cry 6, you can just take a boat after you get through the tutorial island and just drive off to towards Miami. And then you just like, it goes to an end credit scene where she's on the beach in Miami just drinking and having a good time, and the whole thing in Mexico just happens and you didn't do anything.
You're like, yeah, fuck this place, I hate it here.
But yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, guys, I really do want to ask a question. If you were to start a playthrough of a game, you're going in blind, how many of you would default to the good and how many of you would default to the bad?
Yes, please.
Like, really, like, and think about it, too. Would you go in and play the bad after knowing everything that happens? Because that's usually what I feel like people do, is they, you know, we talked about it. We play the game, we get to know the characters, and then we play the bad to see the other side of the characters. But I do understand some people will go in playing that fucking bad, and I'm curious on the scope of this. How many would play good first, then how many would play bad next? Like, bad first, you know? And then would you swap that? Would you go in after playing that way you played the first time and swap it to the other way?
Yeah, because I know there's other people that only play good playthroughs as well, and they will not play an evil playthrough.
Yeah,
and
there's
a lot of achievements that are even tied. So it's like, if you're a game hunter, but you only like good playthroughs, do you play that evil playthrough just to get the achievement? Or do you just like say, fuck it, I'm not going to get all the achievements for this game because I will never do an evil playthrough?
That's fair. I mean, you know, what's funny is when I played Knights of the Old Republic, I didn't play an evil playthrough probably until my 8th or 9th playthrough.
Dang.
Yeah, it took me a while because it's hard because you're like, well, I don't want to, because in there you have to kill Juhani and you have to kill Jolie Bindo. And it's like really fucking hard to kill people you've been traveling with the entire fucking game. Like that's and then you have to kill Mission, and then you have to kill Zalbar. Like, you have no... Or, like, even more fucked up, you could make Zalbar kill Mission, and then if you bring him along onto the Starforge, he'll try to attack you because he's like, no, you made me do something horrendous. And then you kill him then, and you're like, yeah, fuck you, bitch. like, and that's pretty fucked up, and that was hard to get through. Like, honestly, that was really hard. And then after that, if you're playing a female character, you could say, no, just kidding, I'm a good guy now.
Well, I think that is... true too. Like playing, because also like going back to this Baldur's Gate, like getting different romances, like playing the evil playthrough, I got to interact with Benthara and actually got her to join the group. But to get her to join the group, you have to destroy all the druids.
No, you do not.
Well, that was originally what it was.
Yeah. You can have her join in Act Two if you just don't kill her.
Okay.
If you knock her out, just knock her out and kill everyone.
Well, you can get her sooner and you can sleep with her faster if you kill all the tieflings and the druids in the grove.
Well, literally, as soon as she joins your party, she's like, hey, you want to fuck?
she's like Lizelle.
She's
like,
ready. She's like, yeah, I'm ready for it, dude. Let's go. I think you're strong.
Yeah. But I mean, like, even having different interactions is really cool. And I like the games that really like take those things and like really go with it to different directions. Yeah. Because I know people talk about like Bioshock Infinite not having enough differences between the good and evil choices, and the good and evil choices don't make any difference in the game, really.
Yeah. You almost want the choices to affect the playthrough.
Well, you definitely do, yeah.
Yeah, and if they don't, then you feel like, well, what's the point in making the fucking evil choice?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you might as well make every good choice, because if the playthrough doesn't get affected, who cares? Like, all it is a momentary, like, ha, I killed that guy. All right, back on to the main mission where we save the world.
Right.
All right, you want to move on to our next topic of conversation?
Character creation. We're going to do male and female choices and just other character creation kind of topics. Just kind of talking about the characters we like to build, what we normally play as, if we play male or female every time, like kind of those things.
You know, I will say, I normally make a male character first, and then after a playthrough or two, then I'll make a female character just to see the difference.
That's interesting. I always do female. I
always
hardly
female.
Ever do male characters.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Like, you'll get a very different reaction from doing a female character. What I kind of want them to do, like, this would be a cool game, and it sounds stupid, but it would be an interesting game. Make a game that's, like, kind of backwater, like men rule everything and are normally cool, and then make a female character and just watch how nobody wants to listen to you.
Oh, interesting.
Right. Wouldn't that be interesting? Like, you're like, if you're in the Old West and you're like, like, I'm here to fight the bad guys. And they're like, all right, little lass, sit your fucking ass down and get out of here.
not to make a joke of this or poke fun at this, but it's kind of like in the South Park game when the difficulty meter is making your character black or white.
Yeah,
the whiter the easier the game is, the darker you are, the harder the game is. And it's so fucked up, but it's also like, it's true.
It's true.
In a racist world. You have to deal with a lot more shit, and people aren't going to listen to you, and you're going to have to deal with a lot more bullies and all this other stuff. So, like, even in the South Park world, they poked fun at it, and it's kind of what you're saying with the female thing. Like, if you had a female character that basically put the game on hard mode.
Honestly, it would be an interesting concept if people followed that. They don't. They usually say, well, no, it's a 50-50, and we absolutely know it's not. But, it's always interesting to me just to play a female after playing a male, because you will get different interactions from certain people.
True.
And that's fucking cool. That's like the coolest thing in the world. The only time you don't really is, I don't think Fallout really matters.
Yeah, there's games like that where it's just like the dialogue's just so intrinsically like that's going to be the dialogue no matter what.
Yeah. Skyrim, like all the Elder Scroll games, pretty much the same. You don't really get different dialogue based on
a lot of the
male
first person games.
Yeah.
Like, I know you can play some of those third person, but a lot of those, like, first person games, like, where you're the character, you don't actually, like, use your looks. Like, no one ever treats you differently for being a cat person in any of the towns.
Even though they should, because
But,
like, it's just
interesting
with that, honestly. It's very, but games like Knights of the Old Republic, it actually gets more interesting, because they, again, like, you could be a female character. Mm-hmm. You could play the entire game evil. You could fuck shit up. You could kill Zalbar, kill Jolie, kill Juhani, kill Mission, go up there, blow shit up, and at the end, Karth will be like, but hold on, you're beautiful, and I love
you. Yeah.
why don't you come back to the good side so we could be boyfriend, girlfriend, huh? Okay? And you could actually make the choice to go good guy based on that. Isn't that stupid?
That's so ridiculous.
It is. After you murdered a million people up to that point, you're like, no, I'm a good guy now.
So let me go ahead and tell you what my reasons are for picking female most of the time. So a lot of times for me, I think voice quality and voice acting is just better. Things like Mass Effect, I think Jennifer Hill has definitely a better voice acting role than the male Shepard does, and a lot of people agree with
that. That's another
game,
though, that doesn't really have a difference between if you choose male or female.
Yes, but the big difference is the voice acting there.
Yeah.
Like, the game doesn't change, but the voice acting does.
I mean, the male voice actor in that game is just fucking awful, so...
Yeah. Well,
really?
Jennifer Hill's
that
just got
is
such a beautiful voice that's just fun to listen to and soothing to the ears. Like, if I'm going to listen to a... And that's the other thing for me, is a lot of times just the voices, like, Jennifer English, we were talking about Shadowheart. Oh, she's also in Clair Obscur. And God damn, her voice is just so beautiful. Like, I love hearing it. Like, I could just listen to her speak all day long. If I had a choice to be her voice every time or her character every time, I would. Like, if she's in a choice of a game, I'm picking her. Like, it's not even a question.
I dated a girl way long ago, clearly long ago, but yeah. I dated a girl who had just the fucking sexiest voice in the world. Like, and I told her, I'm like, dude, that voice is fucking on fire. You say anything to me, and I'm going to be like, okay. Okay. Hey, let's go murder 15 people. Okay.
Okay. If you want to, I'll do whatever you ask. Yeah.
A voice
me,
really
voice
does
was,
do a lot.
I think her name's Sophia Bush. She was in the One Tree Hill show. Oh my God. Yeah. She's got this like old school, like raspy voice. And it just. Oh my God.
That sounds terrible. Like
it's
a smoker.
So
like,
good.
Hey, darling.
Not bad. It's not the girl
would
from
you like
Monsters
some
Inc.
Coffee
Ross.
With your pancakes tonight.
I'm watching you, Wazowski.
Yeah, exactly.
Always watching.
That's exactly what it is. That's when you say a raspy voice. That's what I think.
No, I mean that like elegant rasp. That
I know
old school rocker
about.
Chick that like, you're like, oh, you sound badass, and I want you.
What's her name? I don't know. I don't think she has a raspy voice, but I do think of her whenever I think of it. It's the one Hawkeye's wife.
Oh, Laura Cardellini or Linda Cardellini?
Linda Cardellini,
yeah.
Like, whenever I hear her talk, I'm like, oh, you have actually a really fucking nice voice, and it's a little bit raspy. Like stuff like that is really cool. And I know we're really talking about voices in this, but that does matter in a game, honestly. I'm like,
yeah.
We have to hear that voice the most because that is the voice that is talking whenever we make a dialogue choice.
True.
You know?
And, you know, the other thing is, too, my cheeky point. If I'm going to be staring at an ass for 60 hours, I want to stare at an ass I appreciate and an ass that I can really want.
That's because you are a psychopath. How
I'm
dare
a little
you.
Perverted sometimes.
Some guys have nice asses. Fuck you.
A lot of guys have nice asses.
Yeah,
I'm not
so
diminishing nice guys'
you
asses.
You clearly are.
No, I'm just saying I prefer to look at a woman's ass. I will. Right. I'm totally fine looking at a man's ass. I can tell you my top five ass
is
probably off the top
nice
of my head.
Ass.
we talk about how much we both fell in love with the same guy on Dream Daddy, and we both fawned over him. Like, we have no problem
but
with
he had
our
a bubbly
sexual
butt, too.
Tendencies.
He didn't just have a muscly butt. It was a little bubbly, which gives it a little bit more class, in my opinion.
He had the dad bod, but also the arms that support the strength. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect guy.
The perfect.
But other things about character creation that I think are interesting, like how far do you get into it?
Oh, dude, I spent hours on a good creator. Like on a good creator, I can literally spend
insane.
An hour and a half on my
like,
first
like you get
time.
Your cheekbones up, you get your chin the right level,
dude, I
you
do
get
it
your
all.
Nose, you get your point on your nose a little bit, you get your eyelashes. And like, to me, that's a little too much. Honestly, like I get it. I get you're trying to craft a character out of nothing. But I would prefer kind of having a preset face with very, like, varied options.
Well, and if I have no idea, a lot of times I'll just hit random, and then I'll kind of just hit random a few times until I see something I like and then go based off of that.
Okay.
But, like, a lot of times, like, even, like, playing Cyberpunk 2077, because this has some of the
that's
crazy...
That's the one where you pick your dick and tit size, so...
You can pick, you can have it. You can have boobs and a penis. You can have boobs and no genitalia. You can have boobs and a giant dick or no dick or a vagina.
Yeah,
you
can literally
vaginas.
Pick the sizes, though. That's the craziest part to me.
Oh, yeah. You get to pick everything. It's kind of crazy what you can do. And it was really funny, like playing through that character creator. And I was like, my wife's watching me, and I was like, oh, what do you think about these boobs? Oh, what do you think about these boobs? Oh, what do you think about this? Oh, what about this hair? Oh, what about this tattoo on a lower
back?
What about
this? What about this tail with a penis at the
end? And we did. We went through like the genitalia and we were like, oh my God. Oh, that's a monster fucking dick. Could you imagine playing with those tits and that dick? And we were like, it's fun, but like.
Your center of gravity is way fucking off right now. Yeah, you're leaning forward at all times. You have too much fat in the front.
I mean, I'm just saying some of it's a little bit too much. Like, well, does it really matter your penis size in a game? Do characters respond to it?
If you're using it and you get to see it, then yeah, it matters. But if you're not using it, then no.
All right, but did the characters respond to it? Do they actually say, I've never played Cyberpunk 2077 or whatever.
I've only played a little bit of it when it first came out. It was having a lot of those bugs and issues, so I was waiting for it to get patched, and I just haven't gone back to it yet.
Yeah, that's going to do that soon. Like, I really want to go back and try it patched up.
I put it on our list. We're going to be playing it in the next upcoming weeks, like okay. I think in a month or two or something.
Okay.
But yeah, I really want to get back into that, but like I get really in-depth. Depends on like the character creations, like some of them I actually like build characters based off of certain things. Like when I played Dark Souls 3, like on my sixth playthrough or whatever, I tried making it really fun, and I got really into anime at that same time. So I made a Sasuke character because you can do this dexterity pyromancer build. So I was having the katana in one hand and the flame in the other hand, and I was doing this super fast build with all these different pyromancies and electrical abilities and fire abilities, and he was just a fast character, and I made him look like Sasuke even with the black hair and the robes, and I tried to make his armor and stuff match it too. Even if the armor didn't match the stats that I wanted, I tried to make the look the part.
Yeah, I see a lot of people do that. They'll be like, this is my Super Saiyan build, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, it would be a cool one doing a Kuwabara from Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah,
that would be cool. Just like an energy sword
one that you would appreciate.
Blue outfit.
Yeah, one that you would appreciate that I saw was in Elden Ring. Someone did a Rocky build, and what they did for boxing gloves, they had this like pot weapon that you cover your hands with, and they used that as the boxing gloves, and they just walked around shirtless and just boom, boom, boom. And I was like, that's fucking awesome.
And then they're just like, you're Adrian. I know he says a lot more in that movie, but that's what everyone says. Everyone talks about you're Adrian.
Yeah, I mean, fair. The other thing for me is
fair.
I mean, it's true. He sounds like that. It's hard not to mock it.
He doesn't exactly sound like it. We tend to go
over. We exaggerate it.
Yeah, we do. Sylvester Stallone. Sly is one of my favorite actors.
He's so great.
He's such a shit actor, but he's so much fun to watch.
I don't think he's that shitty. I just think he has certain roles. Because, like, honestly, watching Rambo, like, the first Rambo.
Rambo's so
fucking
good.
My God, his acting talent in that, especially his
Rambo
PTSD.
Is fucking amazing.
Well, both of them, yeah. I mean, yeah. But that first one, especially when he had his, like, PTSD moment, and he's, like, screaming at the general at the end when they, like, surround the building, and he's talking about how they left him and they didn't care about him and he doesn't know what to do with his life. It's just like,
yeah.
Huh. Did you live that? Like, damn, dude.
What's the thing? It's not over. It's never over.
Yeah.
You just don't turn it off.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
That's a great fucking. I love those movies. Sly Stallone again. One of my favorite fucking actors. I love Over the Top. I love Demolition Man.
So
like
fun.
Those. Oh my God. It's so fucking fun. But people just hate him so much.
I don't know.
I should start making Sly characters in all my character creation games.
Honestly, sometimes creating some of those characters, like I remember there was this, like this wrestling game that I used to play, and like the when I was working at the Boys and Girls Club, and the kids made like a Shrek character, or the kids made a Kung Fu Panda character, and because you can make them like really fat and change their skin color to like abnormal colors and stuff, so you could make them like. I saw someone made like a Hulk character in, I think Elden Ring or something at one point. Like you can do all sorts of crazy shit, and mods even make it even crazier with the things you can add into games.
And you know. I think one thing about character creation too is it really does open up a lot for people who like it. Like that same buddy who did the Bet Evil playthrough in Fable, he played Mass Effect Andromeda, where they had a lot of utility in creating your character. Again, a lot of like moving your, not just your like little parts of your skin around, like your forehead, bringing it up a little bit, pushing it out a bit. He made him look like a Neanderthal, and it was just so hilarious for him to run around and be like, look at my fucking character, look how ugly he is. Like it just, like there is something to be said that people do find some enjoyment out of that. I just never have. I've always been like, presets are fine. I don't give a shit what I look like.
I have way too much fun. I spend way too long. There's times where like I'll go to like start a game, like, all right, I'm going to play this game. I'm going to play an hour and a half, 2 hours of this game. And then I spend an hour and a half on the character creator. I'm like,
fuck.
I did it. I played an hour and a half in the character.
I was like, I didn't even play any other game. I was too enthralled with the fucking character creator.
You think of like, even like other games, like we're talking about RPGs a lot with the character creator, but even like in games like, I can't remember. My mom played this stupid fucking game. You know, there's all these games out there that are like buy for more stuff.
Well, yeah, you were talking about that the other day. But I mean, like even like Tony Hawk Pro Skater, I spent time in the character creator for that quite a bit.
But like even in that game that my mom played, like you can create your own fucking character. You buy your hairstyles, you buy your makeup, you buy like all that shit. So even in those games, there are technically some aspects of character creation, right, going on at any given moment. Spending too much fucking money to do it, but... There's aspects of that, and that's what people liked about those games. They fucking love customizing their avatars. I mean, remember 360, when we first got our 360, that was one of the coolest things you could do. You make your avatar.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
And everyone saw that. Like, it's fucking fun.
And then, like, if you, like, platinum a game or something, sometimes you get an extra item or something that you could put with your avatar. It was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, other things with the character creator that I really like too is a lot of times female characters also have more customization options. They get better hair options. They get better armor options. They get
generally
more
now they're just
varieties.
Sharing hair between the both.
Yeah,
right?
Which I do like that a lot of games now are kind of just your character creator is you can open it for everything, any hairstyle for any sex,
for sure.
Anything,
which makes sense. Like, why wouldn't you be able to? Anyone can grow their fucking hair out.
Exactly.
Anyone can put it into a ponytail. Like, why the fuck wouldn't you?
Exactly. Instead of just having that one samurai ponytail cut, and that's the only
The dudes, and the females can't use it at all, and go fuck yourself, and or the females can't have a shaved head, because why would anyone want to have a shaved head as a female?
Just
silly shit.
Yeah, and there's sometimes games that have advantages to having a female character, because sometimes the female characters have smaller framed bodies, which have smaller hitboxes. So sometimes also it's actually a gameplay advantage to pick the female characters in certain games.
And then those are in certain games like Apex Legends. I think Wraith is one of those that has a small hitbox compared to everyone else. And Smite, certain female characters or certain characters in general have smaller hitboxes.
Well, yeah, I mean,
makes it much more like viable for them to be in the game.
Like Neith and Zongqui have wildly different hitboxes because Zongqui is a giant guy.
Even Cupid. Cupid has such a tiny hitbox compared to anyone else, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting way to go about it, too, with female characters. Like, and I guess that could be an advantage, which maybe they did that on purpose to push people to choose female characters more, maybe?
Well, and some games like Dishonored 2 actually has... Because in the first game, you played only as the male. And then the second game, you play as the same male from the first game or the female girl that he was taking care of in the first game.
Yeah.
And depending on what play you do, like if you pick the guy, you do an entire playthrough as him and he's got his own storyline. And he has the same abilities that he had in the first game. But if you pick the girl, she has a varied version of each one of the powers or different powers even. So playing the game as her actually makes the entire game completely different and changes
it. Which is cool.
Yeah. And especially after playing the first game, like I was like, oh, well, I've already played as him. I want to see what her powers are. Like, I want to see how she does with the outsider's powers. Like, that sounds really cool. And to find out it was a complete different overhaul of powers, I'm like, this makes it so much better. I like that they actually did that, which makes the varied gameplays and replayability of the game better because now I can play as both. Like Resident Evil 2 Remake was another good one, playing as Claire or Leon and then replaying the game as the other character. And they have moments where they meet, but they have totally different plays where they go to different areas even sometimes or fight Mr. X in different areas or whatever because of the timeline of the story.
Yeah, which is it's super cool. But even like when you think about Pokemon, like we just covered Pokemon last week and you think about Pokemon and you're like, oh, man, when this game came out, it was popular amongst all children.
True.
Not just boys, women too. Girls too. So you have boys and girls playing this game, but girls have a distinct disadvantage because maybe they want to play a character that more resembles them. And if they do, they don't get that because Pokemon Red and Blue did not have that.
Yeah.
So that's, but then they quickly learn like, oh shit, we do have a lot of young girls playing this game. Let's give the fucking option to be a girl.
Yeah.
You know, and by Pokemon Silver Gold, there's an option. And since then, it's been an option in every single fucking game.
Well, and even in all the Pokemon games, I create my character, I buy different outfits, yep. I do all that stuff.
Well,
like
the new ones,
X
yeah.
and Y, I did that
yeah,
a lot.
You don't do what? That in the old one. You don't pick outfits in the old one.
Well, not in the old one. I'm not saying in the old one. I'm just saying in Pokemon games. We're talking about all of them. Yeah.
And it's, like, and other things, like, too, but Steven, you mentioned, like, last week, like, you love to do very creative names when you create your fucking characters. You know, that's another that's another customization option we have. You know, that's really fucking fun for us. Like, that is actually, you know, we get some humor out of hearing the word bitch being spoken every once in a while. So it's like,
I mean,
that character creation tool does make it fucking fun.
Do you have go-to names that you pick, like, every time, or do you pick a different name every time? Do you kind of create
character? When I first started doing the character creation stuff, I didn't really, I just always named myself Scott, because why not? You know, that's my name. I don't give a shit. And after a while, I'm like, well, what would a Jedi name be? And I'm like, okay, well, let's try this name. And I got Tsunaka coming out. So Tsunaka for a long time was my name for a lot of my characters. And I think that was Yu Yu Hakusho inspired. I'm not sure where I got that, but I'm sure that was Yu Yu Hakusho. And then I changed that to Yunaka. I'm like, oh, Yunaka's sweet. I'm going to use that name for some of my characters.
Fair.
And that's been retired since. I haven't used those names in forever, but... That, like, I generally just stick with, like, either my name or Poser now.
Okay.
People do get a lot of fucking fun out of creating their own names and identities, you know?
I'll sometimes use my gamer tag. I hardly ever have used Steven. Like, I'll use Gooey, but I hardly ever use any...
Or Mango.
I don't use Mango. But...
There's a funny story, guys. One of our buddies had a friend who saw his gamer tag, which is Gooey Magoo, and he's like, what's a Gooey Mango?
It was like, it's Magoo, not Mango.
Every time I see him, I just go, what's a Gooey Mango?
So bad.
It's so funny.
It's so funny, though, yeah. But, yeah, no, so I've done that. Like, I also just, like, sometimes pick a name that I really like Chloe, or, like, I watched Ninja Assassin one weekend, and I'm like, oh, my God, the guy who plays the main character in that, his name is just Rain. No middle or last name, just Rain. I'm like, that's
my
a fucking badass name. I'm going to name
that's
my character
weird
Rain.
That someone
that
named him
four
just Rain.
Games ever. What?
That's weird that someone named him just Rain.
Well, Rain.
No, just Rain. Yeah, I heard.
Not
you.
Just Rain, Rain. I know what you're doing there, but no. And the other thing is, too, I've seen this, too, with character creator. There's a lot of times... Like, I kind of sometimes base my character creators off of my wife. Like, if I'm building a female character, I build a female character that kind of resembles her, or I'll build a character that is what I would picture, like, I would want to look like as a female, or, like, in that world. Like, if I was a female in that world, I'd be like, oh, this is how I would be, and this is who I'd look like. I would look like a blue pixie elf for some reason in this game, or whatever, like Baldur's Gate or whatever. I'd look very much like this really cool hairstyle and very... elegant makeup, and I'd have just a few tattoos, and I would do this. I wouldn't look like this. And so I look like, I try to make these like extreme characters that fit into the world and like fit into the vibes and the play style I'm wanting to play. Like, if I want to build a villain, I'm gonna make a villain. Like, when I played my Dark Urge character, I made a I actually did a white dragonborn, which ended up working out perfectly. I didn't realize how perfectly it was gonna work out, but it was just so cool to have a white female a dragonborn that was just this like menacing looking powerhouse that had these dark urges and would just kill people randomly. Like, oh no, my dragon enemy's coming out.
Oh no.
Yeah.
God, now I can't remember. There's a funny video where he's like, the South Park episode with the Hardy Boys.
Okay.
Where he's like, I got a raging clue in this room. I'm going to raging clue all over this place.
Oh, no. Oh no.
I just feel like they would be the Dark Urge character. I got a raging clue coming out of me right now.
Except for it'd be a raging murder boner.
No, they'd still call it a clue.
Sure.
I guess the Hardy Boys. I don't remember, but
yeah.
It's a fun episode.
Yeah.
Is it South Park? God, now I don't remember. I think it was. No, I'm like 50% sure it's South Park, but it might be American Dad.
Okay. If you know, let us know.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, for the most part, character creation, I think, is a really cool thing. And I think a lot of people get something different out of character creation.
Oh, yeah.
Personally, I don't love it. I feel like I just want to jump into a game and start playing right away. That's why I kind of just do all preset stuff. I will do like oh, hey, if I'm going to be an elf, I want to look handsome. So I'm going to be a handsome elf, you know?
Fair.
But yeah. Other than that, I just won't, I don't care. Even if I'm ugly, I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm an ugly character today. I'm still going to get the lead love interest. It doesn't matter how good looking I am, I guess.
Well, and I always fall into the thing sometimes, like, sometimes I like an armor set so much, but like the stats suck. But I'm like, I don't care. This is a badass armor and I worked hard for it. Like, I'm fucking wearing this shit.
You know what would be funny is if you made an ugly character and the lead, like, love interest was like, eh. You're not my kind of guy. Sorry, dude.
No. I'm looking for the chiseled
jaw. That'd actually be pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they would do that. I'd like do an update on Baldur's Gate that if you just make your character look horrendous, they don't.
That would be honestly, like, that, it would be kind of fun. But also, I feel like that's a slippery slope because as soon as you start shaming someone's body in a game, people are going to be like, oh, so you feel that way about people in real life? And I'm like, no. The character in the game had that feeling about that certain thing, like weight or ugliness or whatever, or hairstyle. But I'm not saying that we have that meaning, but I know a lot of people would probably take that too harshly to have any like body shaming of any sort in a game.
Yeah. But, oh, fair. Well.
Yeah. But
well, that's all I have on character creation. You have anything else you want to add?
That's pretty much all I have, too. I guess just let us know. Do you guys like character creation? Do you not like character creation? Do you kind of do it like Scott or do you like me? Do you go over the top and spend hours doing it? Do you typically like a male or female character? Like, tell us a couple of things of like what you guys like to do.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Soul of a Gamer Podcast. I don't know why I'm like, wait, is that right? No, that is right. Yeah. Soul of a Gamer Podcast@gmail.com or comment on the videos that I'm sure are going to be out for this. So,
but yeah, for sure.
Just let us know and bye.
Love you. Bye.